Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Stefan Rudnicki is our very special guest, and he is an expert in what he does, and so few people do it. He is an audiobook narrator, publisher, director, and producer, voice actor. How are you, Stefan?
I'm doing great. Nice to meet you, Frank.
Yeah, well, it's always nice to talk to someone who does what they do very well, and it's especially someone who does something that others don't do. And there's very few people in your field who do exactly this.
Well, most people tend to limit themselves to, even within the audiobook world, one or another niche. I've been fortunate enough to experience pretty much everything that happens in the audiobook creation, except maybe for post-production, which frankly bores me.
Now, has the field changed as much as the hard copy business has changed? Obviously, that's changed, and you don't have the book and mortar, brick and mortar stores as much. But this, might be different. Tell me.
Yeah, it's changed perhaps even more than what we would call print publishing, in that in addition to different delivery formats. Obviously, now the primary format, the one that's growing perhaps 30% or more annually, is digital downloads. These were a marginal format even 5 to 10 years ago. CDs still exist. Cassettes, the last holdouts that were still making cassettes, they're no longer doing it. So that's an obvious change. The demographics have also changed significantly. We've had some surveys that the APA, the Audio Publishers Association, has run that indicate that the listenership, although it's not quite dominated by younger people, there are a lot of way younger people listening now than there were, again, 5 or 10 years ago. So that the YA, the young adult market, is huge. So that's brand new. The commute has always been a primary location for listening to audiobooks. It still is, but now people actually listen at home. They'll listen on their computers, they'll listen on their home stereo systems. So it's an adjunct to TV and other kinds of home entertainment, which was certainly not the case just a few years ago. And finally, one major thing is that the narrators themselves have become to some degree stars, so that there are fans of specific narrators who will buy a book because a particular narrator reads it. Still, of course, the number one reason for buying a book in general is the author, whether it's an audio book or print book or ebook or whatever. But increasingly, those people who like to listen instead of reading, or as well as reading, look at the narrator and say, okay, I know this guy. I know this girl. They're terrific. I'm going to get whatever it is.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I get the idea that people are listening more at home now. I imagine as long as you could surf the net with something in your, in your ears, that, and you don't have to sit there and look at, the graphics or the blank screen or whatever, that it allows people to multitask. And I get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. Let me remind folks, in case they're just turning on their radio, or if they are just tuning in to us, Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Stefan Rudnicki is our very, very special guest. And again, his business is audiobooks primarily, and he does everything from narration to publishing to acting. of, you know, the voice acting on it, which, by the way, is acting. And a lot of people forget that when you are, you know, reading, you know, without a screen in front of you, that, you know, that's acting. And I have a lot of voice actors on, you know, that that do something a little different. Obviously, they either do the voices for cartoons or animation or whatever, and a lot of times people forget that. But as you said, you know, people like yourself and others like you are picking up huge followings just on the voice alone. Have you done any of that, like you know, voiceover work having to do with you know, animation or animated figures?
I've done some, and I'd love to do more, but somehow I've never gotten into the, shall we say, the routine of going up for auditions, looking for that work, because I've been steadily working in the audiobook world, and that's what I love to do. Long form really, really appeals to me, partly because I've been a reader since, good grief, I started reading books probably when I was about three and a half or four, and so I've been an avid reader. I read at least an hour every night before going to sleep, even though that's my business during the day. This long form of, you know, getting in there and somehow creating a work based on a book is heaven to me. I mean, it's just what I love doing, and I prefer that to sitting in there and doing a weird voice for 10 minutes and then calling it a day, even though there's much better money to be made that way.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. But Stefan, let me ask you about, you know, containing or retaining content. Now, again, certainly not at your level, but I have to, you know, read, you know, from time to time, just quick little messages or, you know, like little,
sure,
you know, auto dialers and different things like that. And I'll read it and I'll just, you know, get it over with. Are you retaining these books that you're reading, or is it the type of thing where you're doing it, you're acting on it, but you really can't focus on the content?
You know, I think similarly to actually reading a book with your eyes, depends on the book. If the book is memorable, it stays with you. If it's not, it kind of disappears. No, I do in general retain a certain portion of what I read. I think there have been some very interesting studies in the difference, the differences in which the brain processes information compared, let's say, print reading to listening. And I think it's quite different. I think what happens, and I think this is part of the appeal of audiobooks, is that when you're listening, or when you're reading out loud, which in its own way, I guess, is an adjunct to listening, because you're doing that as well, you're experiencing the work, you somehow experience the literature at a more visceral, perhaps emotional level, so that the impact can actually be greater, though perhaps the retention of information may be less. I've had the experience recently of narrating 6 volumes of Will and Ariel Durant's The Story of Civilization, which was wonderful. And do I remember the facts? No. But I certainly have a very, very vivid recollection of the patterns of history. And perhaps that's even more important.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, it's fascinating, actually. And I don't know many, I was saying to you off mic that I don't know many people who do exactly this. And you know, basically hit it on the head. There's not a lot of people who do exactly this. and I mean, from soup to nuts, the audiobooks in general. How many audiobooks in general would you say that you've, do you keep statistics? Do you know exactly, or do you have a ballpark figure?
It's pretty much ballpark because, you know, after being in this business for over 20 years, I kind of lost track somewhere around year five. But I've been involved in the production, whether it's narrating or producing or directing or something else. I've been involved in the production of about 5,000
wow.
over the years, and
wow.
I've narrated about 500 myself.
Just wow, what a number! I mean, 5,000
yeah.
and 500.
Yeah.
I mean, if an actor had 500 films. I don't know. I mean, does anybody have 500 films?
Yeah, well, back in the studio days, a few almost did.
You know, Tony Curtis and people like that, they had 175.
Yeah.
That's but I mean,
yeah.
175 is a big difference than
than that.
It's just tremendous.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, people can argue that, well, there's more to it, but I would say the onus is on you for those 500 books. I mean, you got to read. It's all you. It's nobody else. Let me remind folks once again, Stefan Rudnicki is my very special guest. Thrilled to have him here. He just recently, from what I understand, did the introduction for Battlefield Earth, which is expected to be a big seller and a big production, and that's L. Ron Hubbard's book. Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Stefan Rudnicki is our guest. Did you just do that recently? Is this a brand new project?
It's a brand new release, but actually the recording was done. I think it was about 6 years ago, maybe more. In fact, it was a little bit more. It was more like 8 years ago that the recording was done. They went through a whole thing of recording most of L. Ron Hubbard's work, which was a massive undertaking. And I was fortunate enough to be asked to participate in several of the projects. And, of course, Battlefield Earth is sort of the central science fiction work of L. Ron Hubbard's. And it was great fun to be his voice and to present the piece to its eventual public. You can imagine with 67 voices and however many hours this thing is, how long just the post production took. Mm. So it's been a few years in the making, but. It should be a tremendous project. I mean, really, really ambitious.
Well, that's, you know, speaking of ambition, I want to go back to the 500 books that you narrated. And, you know, in just you answering that question, it just hit me that you are not only the verbalization of the book, but you really are the voice of the author at many, you know, in many cases. Well, if not every case, and at least part of the book. Sometimes you're the voice of a character, but you're the voice of the writer. It's a tremendous responsibility, actually, to be true to that, I imagine.
It is very much so, and I take that very seriously. Over the years, I've developed some techniques to allow that relationship, because it is a relationship between narrator and author, to develop, to grow, to find the right, just the right rapport. In some cases, there are authors who are living, with whom I communicate often on a daily basis when I'm involved in a recording. Orson Scott Card, for example, is one I've narrated or produced just about everything he's written, and that's a relationship that's happened for several years, and we communicate about what it is that he wants. Though by now, a lot of that communication doesn't have to happen in words because there's a fundamental understanding of what he's trying to accomplish. in the writing. What my role is, I feel, is to be a channel, is to be a conduit for what the author wants to communicate, whether it's character or emotion or information or an attitude. Let's find that and let it run through me. I mean, it's me, of course, interpreting, but not interpreting in the sense of, what is this about? It's allowing it to flow through me so that what the listener hears is as much the author as it is me.
Well, let's do a little bit of your personal history. Stefan Rudnicki, again, is our very special guest. I'm Frank McKay, but Stefan is the person we're really interested in here. Just an amazing career as an audiobook narrator, and with over 500 books there, and you know, far more that he's been involved with on the publishing end and on, you know, parts and everything else. Just an amazing career. Where did it all start for you? Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in Krakow, Poland, and my family left shortly after World War II, and I grew up a little bit in Sweden before they managed to get a visa to come west, and I started school in Montreal, Canada, moved to New York. I spent most of my formative years going to places like Jamaica High School and Columbia University, and then went to Yale Drama School and thought I'd be an actor, but I decided that I'd teach. I spent about 20, 25 years teaching full-time at the university level. Then said, okay, this is boring. it's time to start a new career. Eventually moved back to New York, lived there for, I taught at the University of Rochester. Then went back to New York, taught at LIU, as a matter of fact, CW Post Campus. Just figured it was time to get a different career. I got involved in film, took a course at NYU, moved to Hollywood, and wrote a couple of screenplays, directed a couple of films. And while I was doing some first AD work, I was working with a playwright on developing a new play, and she mentioned something about abridging. I said, "Wow, what are you abridging?" She said, "I'm abridging books for this company, Dove Audio." Now, I didn't know what that was, but I figured she couldn't finish this particular job because she just won an award, had to rewrite a play. So I asked her what this abridgment was. She said, "Well, she was taking books back in those days. This was '94. The average length of a book on cassette in those days would be 3 hours. Now, this could be David Copperfield. It would be 3 hours. Think about it. So somebody had to cut it down to its essentials. And I said, hey, I've abridged Shakespeare for stage production. I'd by that time done about 175 stage productions as a director. I said, I can do this. So I came in, got an interview, left with a book to abridge, did that. And a few months later, I was asked to be production coordinator. And as the company grew, I became vice president, then executive producer, then the publisher. That all during about a six-year period.
Well, congratulations on that. I can't imagine doing it much better than that, and I'll remind folks of who they're listening to. You're listening to the wonderful voice of Stefan Rudnicki and Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Stefan is an absolute expert in the field of audiobooks. He's narrated over 500, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've had involvement with 5,000 of them?
That's correct.
Correct. Yeah. And look, something way back in the start of your history there is Krakow, Poland.
And, that's right.
You know, I'd be remiss not to. And you mentioned right after World War II. You know, what does that do for you mentally to grow up in a place that's so recognized with the Holocaust and so forth?
It's very tricky on a couple of levels. It was certainly traumatic for a baby to be born under those conditions during the war. And curiously enough, for some years into my teens, I had a severe speech impediment. Which
that's hard to believe. That's very encouraging.
One of the things, yeah, it may be one of the things that kind of led me to seek acting and ultimately voice acting, as you call it, narration. But I had not been back to Poland, or certainly to Krakow, since I left as a baby in a baby carriage when my parents walked from Warsaw, where they were at the time, to the port of Gdańsk to take a ship to Sweden. So I was back there 2 years ago, 2 years ago in August, and to visit, and it was pretty amazing. It felt like home. And within a couple of days, I was able to mostly understand the language around me. It was quite an amazing experience. Very much a homecoming.
Wow. Just an amazing place in history to be born. And you know, obviously, we'll never forget, and you certainly will never forget the historical impact of that ghetto, Krakow ghetto. Listen, just an incredible career. I think we need a part two and a part three to even cover all of it. Maybe we can get you back for some more. But let's give folks a website where they can either contact you, or a social media site where they can follow your career. And it's a great one. Stefan Radnicki,
sure.
Where can people follow you?
I'm on Facebook. I have a fan page just with my name. I'm on Twitter at Stefan's Echo, and we have a website. Skyboat Media is my company. We're currently publishing a whole bunch of genre books from the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. Great stuff: science fiction, fantasy, horror, and that's skyboatmedia.com. Skyboat, one word. Skyboat, as in sailing along the air. Right. Skyboatmedia.com.
Well, listen, congratulations on a continually fantastic career and a unique career. And thank you very much for being our guest here.
Thank you, sir. Very much appreciated. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Stefan Radnicki, everyone, has been our very special guest. Go to his website. Go follow him on social media. Just an incredible career. Over 500 books that he, audio books that he has narrated. And I'm sure that's some kind of record, and if not, then the 5,000 books that he's been involved with in some way or another is a record. Frank McKay here signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.